Shalom Aleichem, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you this evening. Today, as you all know, we're beginning a period of intense mourning for the temple, the 3 weeks. And while, of course, this is a very sad period, the Sam Sofer, and you could see this in your first source, notes that there's also an element of joy in our mourning. I'm going to read where it's bolded. B'shas ha'evel hushas ha'simcha de'ilmale da'ate lehivanos v'zikaron Yerushalayim ola letova lemala lo haya avel evel mis'or b'nafshosenu v'haya nishkach k'meis milev. Sam Sofer is noting that if the destruction of the temple was simply a event that happened nearly 2,000 years ago, and that was it, and there was no future, no anticipation or hope to return to Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, then there's no way that we would be able to continue mourning all these years, so much longer. And so the Chassam Sofer notes that the Pasuk actually indicates that even as we mourn, and we're meant to mourn, we also have to, or there's an element of joy. And the truth is that I was noticing that this morning in the Slichos that we recited, the Slichos on the one hand, for example, the first Slicha talks about the five calamities that happened today. Shivasar Batamos, the Luchos were broken, the Karban Tamid was ended, the city was breached, the Sefer Torah was burnt, and an idol was placed in the temple. So we're mourning these tragic events that happened so long ago, but yet the Slichos end on a positive note. The Slichos end, Yeh Leveis Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha, the belief that one day this fast day of Shavasar B'Tamos will be a holiday. This, of course, is based off of the Pasuk, which is your second source over here, number two. Where in the Bible, where in Tanakh do we have a reference to Shavasar B'Tamos? It's a Pasuk in Zechariah. The context is actually interesting. It's the Jewish people wondering whether they should continue to fast now that this was taking place after the Jewish people had begun to return to Eretz Yisrael. And they were asking the prophet, should those who remained in Galus continue to fast? And the response was, Kolmar Hashem Tzvakos. The response is actually a bit long and complicated, but what's relevant for us is Tzom HaRevi'i, the fast of the fourth month, that's Shivasar B'Tamos, the Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth month, that's Tisha B'Av, the Tzom HaShvi'i, that's Tzom Gedalia, the Tzom HaSiri, that's Asar B'Teves, Yeh Leveis Yudal Sason L'Simchal Mo'adim Tovim, so will one day be joyous days. So that's something that we all know. We all know today is a sad day. It's a fast day. There's an element of hope because we anticipate, we long for the day that one that will once again rejoice on this day. It will be a holiday. I wanted to talk about it with you today almost in the opposite direction. I know that I have a hard time feeling sad on a day like today. Shivasar B'Tamos, I have a hard time mourning. I missed my coffee, but you know, real intense feelings of loss because we don't have the temple is not something that's easy for me to experience. You'd think maybe, you know, it would be easier this year with a pandemic going on, but it's still something that's hard. So what I thought we would do is almost go in the reverse direction. We would think about what we're longing for and in consideration of that, we're going to perhaps better appreciate what we're missing. And that will perhaps give us a greater appreciation of the day of Shabbos Arba Tammuz, as well as the period that we're in, the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. What exactly is it that we're longing for, Bimos HaMashiach, and what is it that we're missing now when we're in Galus? It's interesting. I think part of the reason why we wonder about this, perhaps we struggle with it, is because we don't actually know what we're looking forward to. It's actually a bit interesting. In last week's Parsha, the Torah, the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam tells us, talks about the Mashiach. Darach Kochav Miyakov, Vekam Shevet Miyisrael. It talks about those future messianic events, but they're really written in such a vague way that it's hard to have any clue what they're referring to. And much of the messianic era is shrouded in mystery. So we're going to talk about not the details of the messianic era, but really what it is that we're longing for. And I want to begin with a passage from the Rambam. This is source number 3. This is from the Rambam's 13 Principles of Faith. And the Rambam tells us in this principle, the 12th principle of faith, that belief in Mashiach is a fundamental principle of faith. But the Rambam adds that it's not just about belief in the coming of Mashiach, but longing for it. Let's take a look. Vayesod ha-shneimasar yemos ha-Mashiach, the 12th principle of faith, is the Messianic era. V'hu she-la-amin u-la-ameis she-yavo, ve-ein lo-mar she-nis-acher em nis-mameh chakelo, to believe and to affirm that it will come, that he will come, and that we should wait for him and long for him, even though he delays. Im yismama, if it's delaying, chakelo, wait, long. Ulamin bo min agdula v'ava ulispalel v'o'o, one also must pray for the coming of the Mashiach. Bet em lema she'nemar bo al yidei kol navi mimoshe v'ad malachi, in accordance to that which all the prophets speak about. The Messianic era is something that's described by virtually every prophet. Moshe Rabbeinu, especially in Parshas Nitzavim, and all the way till the final prophet of Malachi. Umishin istapek bo, oh, zilzel b'inyano, someone who's uncertain about the Mashiach or makes light of it. Hareze makhesh es haTorah shevticha bo beferish b'parshas Bilam and v'atem nitzavim. You're denying what the Torah promises explicitly in Parshas Bilam, that's what we read last week, and Atem Nitzavim, which we'll read in a month or two. The Rambam, though, when we look at Hilchos Malachim in the Mishneh Torah, which is a source number 4, the bottom of the first page, the Rambam emphasizes that belief in Mashiach is not sufficient. Perhaps in that way, it's different than other Ikari Amuna. When it comes to other Ikari Amuna, you simply have to believe. You have to believe in God, even in Schar V'Onesh and Olam Haba. But the Rambam writes that when it comes to the Mashiach, it's not enough to just believe, but you have to long for it. Let's read the Rambam together. V'chol mi she'enu ma'min bo, anyone who doesn't believe in the Mashiach, or mi she'enu mechakel v'yaso, or someone who doesn't long for his coming, lo b'shar nevi'im b'lvad, who kofer, is not just denying the prophets other than Moshe, ala b'Torah, Uve Moshe Rabbeinu Sharia Torah Ha'ida Alav Shenemar. The pasuk describes the coming of the Mashiach. Shenemar Veshav Hashem Alokecha Shvuscha V'Yirichamecha Veshav V'Kibetzcha. The psukim in Dvarim describe that God will ingather all the exiles and bring us back to the land of Israel, and the situation there will be better than it ever was. V'Tivcha V'Hirbcha Me'Avosecha. Im Yani D'Chacha B'Ktzei Hashemayim. The pasuk says, if your remnants are in the edge of the world, so from there he will bring you, and he'll bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rambam writes. So what's so striking over here, and this is what I bolded, is that the Rambam writes, it's not just that you have to believe in the coming of Mashiach, but you have to long for the coming of Mashiach. In other words, according to the Rambam, if I go ahead and I believe that the Mashiach is going to come 100%, but I don't necessarily want him, long for him, await his coming. You know, I think, look, I'm okay now. Everything's all right. And, you know, if he comes, that'll be great. But it's not like it's something I'm missing. It's not something that I long for. It's not like something I wish for. So the Rambam writes that if that's the case, then there's something very, very fundamentally wrong. The Rambam even implies that lack of longing is a form of heresy. And I'd like to try to understand what that means. It's actually quite interesting because if you look at the Talmud in Masechta Shabbos, I didn't put this on your sheets, but the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there are six questions that a person is asked when they die, right? This is, in a sense, we're in good shape because it's, you know, the teacher gave us the quiz before we showed up to class, and it's only six questions, so we should be in good shape. The tricky part, though, is that these are actually very, very difficult questions, the six questions we're going to be asked when we after we die. And one of the questions is, Tzipisa li Yeshua, did you long for redemption? Now, the fact that this is a question that's being asked indicates two things. A, that this is very fundamental. He doesn't ask you if you benched when you ate bread. Doesn't even ask you if you davened Shacharis, but he asks you if you longed for the redemption. And number two is it highlights that this is something which isn't easy. I think if it was easy, you know, all other five questions that were asked, like Nasata v'Nasasa b'Emuna, being honest in business, Kavati itimot Torah, Dilpalta v'Chachma, all those are quite challenging things. The fact that this is going to be a question that we're asked is an indication that this is something that's difficult. So why is it difficult? Maybe we feel it's difficult, maybe we don't. I think that to some degree we're a historical aberration in the sense that for the most part, many of us are comfortable in Galus. But even when Jews were suffering for pogroms and persecution and poverty and the like, this was still a question. Did you long for Yeshua? It's interesting even. We say in Shemona Esrei, Kil Yeshuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. We long for your redemption all day long. So what does it mean? What are we longing for? And again, what I want to do with you today is not so much talk about the details of the Messianic era, we could do that another time, but really paint in very broad strokes what it is that we're looking forward to. So the Rambam tells us, and we're going to focus on two themes. The first theme we're going to talk about is how the Mashiach is our spiritual renaissance and a restoration of nationhood. That's the first theme. And the second theme is Mashiach as a sanctification of God's name, or perhaps an end to the Chilul Hashem. So let's look at the first topic. Our national renaissance, our spiritual renaissance. Take a look at source number five. And the Rambam writes as follows. Lo nis'avu chachamim v'nevi'im yemos ha-Mashiach, lo kedei sheyishlatu al kol olam, when the Jewish people, the wise people, the prophets have longed for, desired the Mashiach. It's not because they wanted to be powerful, militarily powerful, to triumph over their enemies. The Loshel Kadesh Yirdu Ba'akum, or to be dominant over non-Jews. The Lo Kadesh Yinasu Osam Ha'amim, not even to be praised. You know, it's not just so people will finally stop hating us. You know, the end of anti-Semitism. People will wonder, you know, realize how wonderful we are. No, velokadei lecha velishtos velismocha, not even to eat, to drink. You know, prosperity is definitely a part of the Messianic era, but that's not really what we're longing for. Ella kedei shiyu pinuyim b'torah uvechachmasa. So we'll be free to study Torah and wisdom. We won't have people that are mevatel us, that trouble us, that prevent us. In other words, right now, there are so many things that prevent us from studying Torah, from becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether that's the Ol of Parnassa or Machla, sickness, other tirdos, other problems. There's so many things that prevent us from clinging to God, from studying his wisdom. All those distractions will not be there. The Rambam thinks that there's no reason why anything in nature has to change for that to take place. There could be world peace and prosperity and plenty of time to focus on wisdom without anything in nature changing. So we're not necessarily talking about a change in nature. But what we're going to be granted is the opportunity to focus on the things that perhaps nowadays, hopefully, we really wish we could focus on, but are not able to because we're distracted. In fact, there's a very fascinating nevuah in Yechezkel. This is a famous nevuah, source number 6. It's the prophecy of the dry bones. And I'd like to read it with you, at least partially, because it describes a very, very strange thing. And I want to try to figure out what does it mean? What is this prophecy referring to? So this is in the 37th chapter of Yechezkel. Yechezkel is a prophet. He's in Galus. He's in Bavel. And God takes him out and puts him in a valley. And the valley is full of bones. I'm sort of summarizing. I started with Pasuk 1. And God takes me all around. It's full of bones. And the bones are so dry. And God says to me, Ben Adam, hatichyena ha'atzamos ha'ela? Will these bones once again live? V'omar, Hashem Elokim atayadat. I said, God, only you know. V'yomer Eli, hinavei. Al ha'atzamos ha'ela, prophecy over these bones, and tell them, ha'atzamos ha'yevesho shimu dvar Hashem, dry bones, listen to the word of God. Ko amar Hashem Elokim la'atzamos ha'ela hinenu ani mevi b'chem ruach v'chisem. Bones, I'm going to put a spirit of life into you, and you shall live again. And I'm going to put upon you sinews and flesh will cover your skin, and I'm going to breathe life into you. And I told them, I prophesied as I was commanded. And it was as I was prophesying, there was a great commotion, and the bones connected to bones. And I saw that there were sinews upon them, and flesh grew upon them, and skin grew upon them. But they were still dead. There was no breath. And so Hashem said, Hinave ben Adam ve'amarta laruach, ko amar Hashem Elokim, me'ar baruchos bo'i haruach, ufechi baharugim ha'ele, let there be a spirit that blows life into these bones, ve'yichyu, and they shall live. And I did this, and they stood on their feet, a great host, many, many people. And now God tells him, so who are these bones? Vayomer Eli ben Adam, hatzamosa ela, kol beis Yisrael hema. Pasuk Yud Aleph, these bones are the Jewish people. Hine omrim, they're saying, Yavshu atzmosenu ve'avda sikfasenu nigzarnu lanu. The Jewish people are saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. But tell them, kol amar Hashem, Hine ani poseach es kivrosechem, I'm going to open up your graves. Valesi eschem mekivrosechem, ami. Vehevesi eschem eladmas Yisrael, I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel. V'yidatem ki ani Hashem, and you'll know that I'm God. When this happens. So I want to ask you a question. What is this prophecy all about? Maybe we would think this is a prophecy about Tchias HaMesim, about the resurrection of the dead. But the Ramban, the Kuzari, and others all explain, no, this is not about Tchias HaNesim. This is about Yemos HaMashiach. This is about a national and spiritual restoration. It's about, as the Psukim say, the Jewish people dying in Galus, but then being brought back to life. Not literally. We're not going to literally die in Galus. We're going to remain alive. The Jewish people will not become extinct. But they're going to spiritually die. They're going to nationally die. And they're going to be restored. God is going to bring flesh back to our dried out bones. He's going to breathe life into our bodies. And we're going to return to the land of Israel. And this is the Navi. This is the Navi that's described in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Nitzavim. Umal Hashem Elokecha Eslevavcha Veslevav Zarecha. Li'avas Hashem Elokecha. U'avdo B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. God is going to make us, help us, spiritually revive us. We're going to love him and fear him in ways that we don't do it now. And bring us back to the land of Israel. If you're at the far-flung places in the world, you're going to come back. So let's think a little bit about this image, this depiction of us as dead in Galus. As we said, we're not dead. We're not dead, we're alive. We're even learning Torah together all over the world, connected on Zoom. But the Navi's telling us that we're spiritually dead. And we don't appreciate it, because sometimes if a person is very sick, they don't even realize what it means to be healthy. And so the Mashiach is going to be almost like Tchias HaNesim. We're going to be revived. We're going to be spiritually revived. We're going to be nationally revived. We're not going to be a lowly nation, but we're going to be an independent nation, a proud nation, a nation that serves God in the best possible way. And just two more psukim that I think emphasize this point, sources 7 and 8, before we go on to the second theme. Source number 7, a pasuk in Habakkuk, describing Messianic era. Ki timale ha'aretz ladas es kavod Hashem kemayim yichosu al yam. The Jewish people in that time will know God, know the glory of God, like the sea covers the seabed. Kemayim liyam mechasim. In other words, we're going to be filled with knowledge of God, of understanding of God, of closeness to God. And finally, a pasuk in Vayikra describing this. V'nasati mishkani besochechem v'lo sigal nafshi aschem. V'salachti besochechem v'ayisi lachem l'lokim v'atem tiuli l'am. We will walk together with God, almost like partners. He's going to walk with us. He's going to place his dwelling in our midst. We're going to feel him. Right now, we feel so distant. We feel so far. Most of the time, it's so hard to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We daven and we just say words without emotion. Perhaps at times in our lives, maybe sometimes on Yamim Noraim, or at times when we're in trouble, or times of despair, or maybe great joy, we feel that connection. But so much of the time, we feel so far, so distant. And we want to feel it. We want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to daven with Kavanah. We want to feel his presence. We want to feel like when we're walking alone, he's walking with us, holding our hands. But we're so far from that. That's what the pasuk says. We're dead. We're like dried out bones. It's dry. It's dry. There's no chiyus in us. There's no ruchnius dika chiyus. It's such a bland religious experience. But we know there could be so much more. And that's what we're longing for. We're longing to be brought back to life, to return to our land and connect once again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we could not have imagined. That's the first theme I think you see in the prophets about the Messianic era. The second theme I'd like to discuss with you, which is going to have to be a little more brief, is also emphasized especially in the book of Yechezkel. And that is the incredible Chilul Hashem that is Galus. Right now we live in a world in which evil triumphs over good, in which so many people deny God, so many people reject the truth. And the pasuk says, "V'kibatzti aschem." This is the next source from Yechezkel. "Min ha'aratzos asher nefotzosam bam v'nikdashti b'chem le'nei agoyim." The kibbutz galios will be a kiddush Hashem. It will wrong all those chilul Hashems. So, as opposed to the first theme, which is all about us, galus is our exile, our persecution, our suffering, our distance from God. And Mashiach is about a correction of those wrongs. It's about our going back to our homeland. It's about our coming close to God. It's about our understanding God. It's about our triumph over our enemies. It's about us. Here Yechezkel says, there's something else. It's not just about you. It's about me. Right now, there's this terrible Chil Hashem. And the Pasuk is telling us this is something that should really trouble us. This is something that should really bother us. The Psukim, next source, the Chmol al Shem Kachi, Asher Chiluluhu Beis Yisrael Bagoyim Asher Bo Shama. There could be no greater Chil Hashem than Galus. The Pasuk in Zechariah that we say every day, Payom Ahu, Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. On that day, God will be one. What does it mean? He's not one now? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, of course he's one. But we live in a world where he's denied. Of course, he is one, but his name isn't one. His name referring to the way he's perceived in the world. And so right now we live in a world of Chilul Hashem. And we long for a world of Kiddush Hashem. That's what we say when we say Kaddish. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach Le'olam Olamei Maya. What does it mean? May his name become great, complete, one, forever and ever. Right now, it's not one. Right now, we look at the world, and it's a broken world. It's a world in which the truth of his existence and his oneness and his kindness is denied. And we look forward for the day in which that terrible, terrible Chil Hashem is restored. It's very interesting, actually, and we don't have time to elaborate now, but if you look at the two main parshios in the Torah about the Messianic era, you'll see these two themes are stressed. Parshas Nitzavim stresses Mashiach for us, to fix our world. Parshas Hazinu is about to fix God, or to fix a world in which God is disparaged. Yeshayahu talks more about the first theme. Yechezkel talks more about the second theme. Even in Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Umevi goel livnei v'nehem l'man shemo bi'ahava. Both themes. God will bring the Redeemer to his children. L'man shemo, for his sake. Bi'ahava, for love, with love, with love for us. And perhaps when we think about these two themes, to think about how we're broken and to think about how we live in a world that doesn't recognize God, then A, we'll be able to mourn with more intensity in a more meaningful and real way. And B, we'll begin to long for the Geula, for the Emos HaMashiach, because we'll be able to better appreciate both what we lack and what we will hopefully once again have. We daven for that day to come quickly. V'mehera v'yameinu amen. May there be a fulfillment of the pasuk in Zechariah that we began with, that this galus this day of fasting, this day of mourning, which is now a day of sadness, will be a day of joy. Yeah, leveis Yehuda, lesason, ulesimcha, ulmoadim tovim, vaemes, vaashalom, avu. Thank you very much, and have a good night.